So if you have your Bibles, roll with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope you have your pens, pencils, and paper nearby. We're going to do a lot of work today. As I've just been looking over the past year, and especially these last few weeks, part of the last month, we've been just kind of enrolled in a lot of difficulties and trials here as a church family. I just believe, as we talked about last week, that there will be forward progress for our church family. But even with forward progress, as we said last week, that doesn't mean that it'll be free of opposition and conflict. But if anything, we continue to push past and push through the contact that we would encounter in this journey. So as we've set the vision, as I said this so eloquently stated, we exist for the reshaping of lives in Christ and community. We understand, first and foremost, that when we encounter Jesus Christ, he transforms us immediately. Amen. And ongoing. But then also, as a part of that ongoing change, we need one another. That's why God has given us the church. There's no super saints. There's no big I's and little U's. The idea is that we're in this together. So there will be times where we may stumble on the journey. But the beautiful thing is, because we have one another, we help each other out. Praise the Lord. But with that, we need to be, really mindful that we are in battle, and not just physical confrontation, but also spiritual. The past, 2 months, so we've been talking a little bit about like spiritual warfare. I've been hearing conversations about spiritual warfare, and the Spirit has really kept dealing with me on spiritual warfare, and that's what we're going to talk about. This is a war. This is not something that we just do on Sunday morning, but this is an everyday, ongoing battle with the principalities and the darkness in this world. And we need to know that and be not only know that, but willing to engage in that. Yeah. It's not enough to ignore it and pray away. Yeah. Hello, lights and walls. This is some supernatural things happening all around us, and we want to deal with that. So I hope you have your pens, pencils, paper, because we're going to work through some things today. Amen? Yeah. So if you have 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to pick up at verse 3, and we're going to scoot through verse 5, and then we're going to hit a lot of other verses. So just hang tight. Amen? It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. And I want you to emphasize, I want you to underline this, highlight it. To destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So for a thought for today, we're just going to talk about this is war. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, I pray that we'll be sensitive, God, to your Spirit in all areas of our life. God, would you expose our areas of deficiency? God, would you bring restoration to us, Lord? If we're lacking anything, God, we know that in you there is no lack. So, God, would you move near to us? Overwhelm us with your grace, Father. God, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts, God, enlighten us to the truths of your word, God, so that we will be responsive to what you have to say to us. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You would notice in various classrooms in our church, we have what's called partitions. They're designed so that you can cut off the room, so that you can take one room and make it into two or three. The main purpose is that they're high and they're typically lofty. They serve a purpose. Because what they're designed to do is to help drown some of the noise between rooms so that one room doesn't distract or disrupt what's happening in the next room. Well, the enemy has done something very similar to many of us, is that he's developed these kind of spiritual partitions in our life that will cause us to not be able to hear God clearly. These partitions are high and lofty, and they drown God's voice. Because many of us have often experienced moments where we say, God, I don't hear you, I don't feel you near. And often it's these kind of strongholds that have been set up in our life that the enemy has set up in our life so that it would distract us from being able to hear God clearly. And one of the beautiful things that God has said to us is that he has given us weapons that have divine power. So that as we identify these partitions or these lofty things, that we don't have to just look to God to bring them down, but he has empowered us to bring them down. There's some things that God has to do for us. Amen. There's some specific things God has to do for us. But there are some things we can identify in our life and say, you know what? I got to deal with this right here. And let me be clear, there are just some things that God is looking for us to get rid of. Right now, First Kings chapter 15. Give you a good illustration of this. First Kings chapter 15, verses 11 through 15. In this particular passage, we see the reign of King Asa. King Asa was a godly king, but yet, matter of fact, he even did some godly things. He removed some things. But the Bible says that he left the high places intact. And what you see is a reoccurring pattern that throughout the book of Kings and 2 Kings, that you will have some good kings and some not so good kings. These evil kings will continue doing evil things because they're evil, right? But one of the things that became very apparent to me is that even with the good kings, they would do some really good things, but they would leave the high places intact. And I kept thinking, like, well, Lord, what's wrong with the high places? Because if you look at the scripture, it teaches us that the high places were also places where they would worship God. But it was temporary. It was never permanent, because in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, it says that now God has sanctioned one place to worship, and that was a temple. So that means that you had to move away from the temporary and move to the permanent. Okay, let me make it plain. The temporary high places were no longer sanctioned by God. God says, I have a temple now, and this is where you must worship. And God showed me real quickly that there are some things in our life that we're holding on to that are just meant to be temporary, that's not been sanctioned by God. And God says, I have something more for you, but you have to be willing to let go of the temporary in order to pursue the permanent. And if you allow these high things to remain in your life, it will cause you to stumble and fall. How do we know this? Because over and over and over throughout verse 2 Kings, it says, okay, God raised up this king. He was godly. He removed some of the idols, but he left the high place. Over time, the people drifted from God, and they begin to disobey God because the high places stay intact. Let me say it like this. There are some good things in your life that God says, okay, that's great, and it was good for a season. But because it's not a God thing, it has kept us bound because we think this is a God thing. And God says, that's not a God thing. And realize that this good thing will keep you bound. Okay. Make it very practical. I talk with a lot of different couples, and some of them are in some good relationships. It's meeting some needs. See, past the spiritual, okay? It's meeting some needs. I have companionship. I have some physical needs that are being met. It's good to me. But God is saying, but I haven't sanctioned this. And God is saying, it is time now for you to make some hard decisions. You're either going to have to give this up or be imprisoned by this. And let me say this. There are many people who are imprisoned by some good things. And they are refusing to address this issue, just like we talked about last week. God says, this mountain had been good to you for the season. Now it's time for you to leave this mountain, because that good thing can turn toxic. Let water sit for long enough and not be moved around. That one thing that can give you life, now would take your life. Because stagnant water is not good for you. And just like good things that are stagnant, it's not good for you. And you're going to have to make some decisions. Get rid of the high places. Tell your neighbor, get rid of the high places. So there are three enemies that we need to be mindful of. And the enemy does a great job, the Satan, the devil, he does a good job by keeping us bound to these hot things. Because remember, if you remember when Jesus was in the being tempted in the wilderness, and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, it was the enemy that showed up and started to offer some good things. Offer kingdoms. Turn this food, or this rock into food. He offered some good things. It's good to eat. Praise the Lord. I thank God for eating. Don't leave me by myself. I praise God. But even a good thing can be a bad thing. Too much fried chicken. Don't leave me by myself. It's a good thing. Oh my gosh. I'm just leaving it there. It's a good thing. I'm not going to bring condemnation on myself today. Amen. But there are three specific enemies that we just mentioned. One, Satan. He's our adversary. Here's some titles that he goes by in Scripture. He is called the Accuser, Father of Lies, Ruler of this World, Tempter, Ruler of Demons, the Evil One, Murderer, Adversary, Ruler of the Authority of the Air, Roaring Lion, the Angel of the Abyss, God of this Age, Old Serpent, Dragon, Deceiver of the Whole World. He goes by many names. But I want you to zero in on this one passage that keys us into something very important about this spiritual warfare. Right now, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. We'll get to 2 Corinthians. Just hang on. Just introduction for it. And it says, put on the full armor of God. Watch this. So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And we miss that sometimes. We focus too much on putting on the full armor of the Lord. And we forget that we need to pay attention to the schemes of the devil. Are y'all with me? Yes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the war forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, watch this, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to, watch this, resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So what Paul is alluding to is that there will be forces, there will be fights, physical fights. He says, okay, y'all act like I ain't never known what a fight is. There will be physical confrontation. Yesterday was almost a physical confrontation at the baseball. One thing I don't play about is my wife and cheerleaders. You mess with any one of them, Sean will show up. You don't want Sean. Can I be human for a moment? So my wife said somebody had cussed at her yesterday. And here's how it is. Sometimes the flesh will get you real quick. I ain't even ask questions. I just went and I started posting all the news around. I said, you cussing my wife? And she said, no, it was that person that just walked out the gate. I was like, it was Sean, y'all, who took me right quick. Amen. Let me get back to it. So there will be physical confrontation, but Paul says, I don't want you to be trapped by those. And too often in the body of Christ, we spend too much time fighting in the flesh. How do we know that? We have too much church conflict. You got to say amen. I get the emails, I get the personal letters, I get all that stuff. I know that there's personal conflict in the body of Christ. But he says, I don't need you paying attention to those fleshly conflicts. I need you to pay attention to the schemes of the enemy. Okay, maybe you're not understanding what the schemes of the enemy. We just described what he does. He's an accuser. So his job is to accuse the saints. He is the father of lies. And the list goes on and on and on. That is his scheme. He is all about deception. He's all about trickery and lying. That's what he does. And if we are not careful, we get swept up in his mess. And can I push it a little further? Sometimes we act like him. Some of us operate in deception and lying and accusing. Okay, you got to say amen. But here's the one thing that the Lord says about the devil. He says, you can resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7, he makes it very clear. He says, submit to the Lord. Okay, so you can submit to the Lord. And then, by default, you can resist the devil, meaning you can stand against, you can oppose the devil. So whenever the devil gets busy, then guess what? We can just stand firm and stand against him and oppose everything he's trying to do. Okay, let me explain to you like this. So when we have people who are acting very devilish, our job is not to fight them. Our job is to speak against their works because they're acting like the devil. And so our job then is to resist them too. So when somebody's acting devilish, don't fight them, resist them. How do you resist them? I'm glad you asked. You speak truth in love. Emphasis, truth in love. Some of us know how to speak the truth, but not know how to do it in love. So therefore, we start beating people up with the truth. So because we know that the devil is busy and he's active, then watch this. We understand too that he also has a leash around his neck. Because in Job chapter 2, the Bible says that, okay, the devil had to get permission to even influence or affect the life of Job. God says, you can do whatever. Can't touch life. Because the enemy can go so far. And the God says, and here's the beautiful thing. He doesn't know really how far he can really go. God places the restrictions on him. Oh my gosh. So when it looks like he's really having his way and making havoc, the Lord, you can just jump back in. And in the midst of that, we just stand. I see you, devil. I see you trying to work in my life, but if my God is for me, who can be against me? So,
come on now.
He puts the brakes on the devil. He puts the brakes on the devil. Gregory Koch says this in his book, The Story of Reality. This is what he says. The devil, watch this, gains ground by craftiness and secrecy. And he destroys by lies, accusations, enticement, and subterfuge. If you doubt him, beware. Stealth is his weapon. Satan happily stays in the shadows where he can do his dark business undetected. So while we're trying to fight one another, the enemy's in the corner. I got him now. They lying on one another. They accusing one another. They doing my work. Good job, guys. Good job. And when we see that junk that's happening in our church family, we have to stand against that. Because it's not the person we're fighting. It's a spiritual warfare. Everybody say spiritual. So that's the first enemy. Satan, he's our first enemy. The second enemy is the secular world. The world has been corrupted. We understand there's a secular, there's a spiritual. The secular world is governed and ruled by one person. Scripture says that's the enemy. Satan is corrupted by sin. Okay? Are y'all tracking with me? It's corrupted by sin. That's why evil exists in the world. Also, the word says it's about the world. Watch. He says, the world would love its own. So if you find yourself being too comfortable with the people of the world, then we need to ask a question. Maybe you are worldly. Okay, got quiet right there. Now, we are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And what we mean by that, you don't have to practice and do the things of the world. We have too many saints that are doing things of the world and think God will bless them because of it. And the word says, you're just like us. You fit in. You can sit at our table. At some point in our journey, there needs to be some conflict or it needs to be something that causes people to become uncomfortable when we are around them. If we are just like them and we never make people uncomfortable, then are we really walking in the power and the authority of Jesus? Now watch this. Now notice this. Now Jesus never had to go looking for demons.
Come on now.
The demons always showed up where he was.
That's right.
Because wherever Jesus was, then there was always some type of spiritual conflict. Here's a problem with the saints. We operate too much like the world, so we don't even get involved. We don't cause the conflict. We need to be agitators sometimes. The world is always going to be opposite of the kingdom. And our lifestyle must not reflect that of the world. Amen? Here's the third enemy. Self. Oh my. We can spend all day on this, but we don't have time. But self is, first of all, corrupted by sin. We are instructed to put off the old man and then put on a new man. So Jesus' word to Nicodemus, he says, a man must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So therefore, when we are born again, we are no longer operating out of our flesh, but we're now operating out of the spirit. There's a problem when we still keep operating too much out of the flesh and we say we call on the name of Jesus. Hello, lights and walls. There are too many people. Matter of fact, I had a conversation with a couple this past week. We were finishing up pre-grad counseling, and it was so funny because they said it's not enough to commit to one another. They wanted to know, what are the steps? We need to know the steps. Give us a list of things we need to do so that we can be good with one another. And here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. He says, if you give them all the steps, they will put more faith in the steps than they would in the commitment. So when we become followers of Jesus Christ, we commit to following him. We're not committing to the steps. Okay, how do we know this? Well, when we look through scripture, the old covenant, it was all about the steps. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. And then they thought, cool, I got that. But it was not enough because they would fail in the steps. So what does God do? He says, okay, I'm going to put myself in flesh. I'm going to come there and I'm going to do the steps for them. And all they have to do is put their faith and trust in me. And guess what? I will secure them. So therefore, we put our faith and our commitment in Jesus, not ourselves. So if we're going to live a life that glorifies God, we got to trust God absolutely.
That's true.
We got too many people that want to play more games. They want to be in the world, they want to be in the spirit, in the world, in the spirit. And they wonder why they're confused. The spiritual world. You put your right foot in. You put your whole self in. Shake it all around.
What?
Yeah, we got to do the shake it all around. Go to Instagram. Just
hokey-pokey.
And so what does the word say to us? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside
every weight and sin
which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We cannot run effectively or efficiently if we continue to hold on to the sin that keeps us bound.
That's right.
God says, I need you to lay aside. Now, get this. And I love the Lord. He says, okay, I know there's some things in your life I got to deliver you out of. He's got to pull you out of. But there are some practices in your life you just need to stop yourself.
Amen.
Put some restrictions on your web browser.
Well,
some of y'all missed that. Somebody missed that. Be careful of the things that you're listening to and looking at, because it's seeking to keep you bound. And the writer of Hebrews says, lay that aside. And so what the enemy wants us to do is to be so caught up in our own dysfunction. And then watch this, we begin to justify our dysfunction. Okay, I was born this way. God made me this way.
Yeah.
When we think about people fornicating, well, it's convenient. You know, we love each other, though. We love each other. We love each other. Yeah. And the person who's committed adultery, I just can't help myself. Yeah. God made me to be able to do this. Can we talk about it, really?
Lord Jesus.
So there are things that we, this dysfunction that's in our life, and we try to justify rather than rebuking it and confessing their sin so that God can cleanse us. So I know what you're saying. Well, how do they claim to be saved? A lot of people to be saved.
That's true.
Represented Jesus Christ, and I use that loosely, represented Jesus living in their sin.
That's right.
Matter of fact, that's what I'm in here right now. That's living in their sin and lifting up holy hands, and they go out misrepresenting Jesus. And every now and then, we need to have a repentant confession sometime.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to confess some things sometime. I had to confess last night. I said, Lord, I almost killed that dude. I just, you know, he almost got it. Like that? Because we're subject to fail sometime. We're not that same to where we can't stumble sometime. But if we stumble, watch this, we can confess. And the enemy wants to keep us deceived. But let me say this. We have our own dysfunction, but we attribute way too much to the devil too.
That's true.
Oh gosh, the devil made me do it with people. He working in my life today. No. It's just your dysfunction that's working in your life today.
Yeah.
Right now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to get to, I promise, we're getting to 2 Corinthians in just a minute. Y'all hang on. We're getting there.
Galatians 6, verse.
So when we find somebody, emphasis, when we find somebody who's overtaken in a fault, there's a remedy for that. The Bible says if you find out that a person has been overtaken by a fault, you have an obligation. Restore them. Let me back up. Those who are spiritual, restore them. Now, if you still are in dysfunction, you better not go help nobody. I mean, y'all stay right here. If you know that you're not spiritual and you still are dysfunctional, you don't need to go help anybody. Sit your butt down with me. I'm sorry. I can't say that. Sit yourself down.
All right, man.
I'm sorry. I got caught up. That's just that fast. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I think we just have way too many non-spiritual people trying to help, and all they do is cause more hurt. So he says, if you find, and I love what Paul does, he said, he does suggest that this might happen. He says, this will happen. He says, so when you find this person, he says, if a person, it really says, since a person has been overtaken by a fault, he says, you restore them. So sometimes around us, somebody's going to be overtaken by a fault. And he says, I need you to restore them and not ignore them. Okay? Because too many of us, this is what we do. We pretend like the sin ain't really happening. We try to ignore it. I don't see the sin, Jesus. Because then if we see it, guess what? Now we have a responsibility to do something about it. That quiet right there. Everybody say restore. It does not mean you abuse them. It doesn't mean that you beat them down. But the idea is restore. Everybody say restore. And in the Greek, the idea of restore is to repair and to adjust. Okay? But that means, watch this, you have to have the tools to do that. You don't take your car to a shop and there's no tools around. Oh my God. It's just a garage. And so the idea is that when you go, you need to look around and see if there's the right tools. And in the body of Christ, we need to know that we have the right tools to deal with the issues that are plaguing the saints of God.
That's true.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So God, deal with it. Everybody say, deal with it. So when we talk about spiritual war, what's the first thing we need to know when we're fighting a spiritual war? Here's the first thing. First of all, you need to see the unseen. If you're going to fight in this fight, you got to be able to see the unseen. How do we know that? Write down 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. This is the prophet Elisha, who's him and his servant are involved in a battle. And it seems as though the Syrians were overwhelming them. And I just using my Holy Ghost imagination, all I keep thinking is that Elisha must have been some kind of cool when facing all of this, because he was able to see beyond what he was seeing. And see, that's what it means to live by faith, is that we're not just seeing what we're seeing, but we're seeing beyond what we're seeing. And so his servant's on a panic attack. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's so many people. And Elijah just sitting there, yeah, you don't see what I see. You don't see this host. God's army all around. Because the battle is much deeper than what we're seeing right now. So you gotta be able to see beyond what you're seeing. So when you see the conflict, see beyond that. Are you tracking with me? So when somebody's acting up, Jesus, when you see somebody acting up, okay, don't beat them up. See beyond. Are y'all with me? Because remember, we're not fighting against flesh. And I know it's easy. Well, can we be real? Sometimes it feels good to operate in the flesh. Yes, that's me. That's me. Because watch. So when I look back on yesterday, As it was raising up in me, watch this. I was feeling good about it. I'm like, he gonna get what he deserves.
Yeah. I'm gonna handle it.
Because we feel like people deserve what they deserve. You mess with me? Okay, let me move on with me. If you mess with me, be ready. Be ready. Amen. That's not the kind of get ready he was talking about. Okay. So we have to be like Elisha. Don't be caught up in what you see. See beyond. So here's a tip. This is what I want you to do. When you see the enemy working, when you see conflict happen, this is what I want you to do. Just practice with it real quick. When you see it happen, just go. And just say, I choose you, Lord. When you see it coming, now, it's not perfect. It's not science now. But you got to practice it.
That's true.
Even the best of us, practicing, may miss sometimes. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I got three witnesses. Okay. Every now and then, I'm going to matter how hard you practice, you're going to miss. So we've been working with my son and working on his batting skills and all this. And in his mind, he thinks he's supposed to be perfect. That he's never supposed to miss a ball. Oh gosh. And he gets infuriated and defeated when he misses. And I tell him, I said, even the best, the Hall of Famers, don't bat 1,000. So the idea is that you got to stay in it and keep working. And so as we keep working, just trust. Okay, there's going to be a fall, there's going to be a stumble, but get back up, do it again. Keep getting up, do it again, keep getting up. Because the Lord will continue to strengthen you as long as you keep getting up.
Hallelujah.
We got too many people staying down. Get up. Tell your neighbor, get up. Jesus. Secondly, how do we fight in this war? We must engage the unseen. So first of all, you got to see them. You got to see the unseen. Then also you got to be willing to engage the unseen. So that's where we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5. Quick backdrop, the Corinth church was a hot mess. I mean, they were a mess. They had what I would describe as moral cancer. They continued to deal with deceit. They were tolerant of sexual immorality. They allowed pride to get in the way because they were arguing over who was more gifted and all that kind of nonsense. That don't happen in church today, does it? Okay, so I want to make sure. They practice divisiveness. That doesn't happen in a church, does it? Some of these things happen. So it happened then. It has the potential to happen right now if we don't see beyond what we're seeing. Are y'all tracking with me? So here's what he encourages us to do. He says, do not use the wrong weapons. He says, we don't fight according to the flesh. So when the flesh rises up in somebody else, you try your best not to match their fleshness. Because it's almost like we have a flesh match competition. My flesh is better than your flesh. So what Paul says, yes, I live in the flesh, but I don't live according to the flesh. There's much more to me than just my flesh. Are y'all tracking with me? He says, the carnal weapons, here's the carnal weapons I want you to write down that you need to pay attention to in the body of Christ. Here they are. Manipulation. Deception. Accusations. My all-time favorite, divisiveness. Because that's happening way too often in the body of Christ. Pride. We have this self-bloating that we do in the body of Christ, where we really do say, my gift is better than your gift. My anointing is better than your anointing. I'm better than you. I don't care what you say. It happens in the church. I've seen it. So notice this. Did y'all hear similar titles? Did y'all hear that? These were similar titles that's been attributed to the enemy, to Satan. So when we see that kind of stuff happening in the body of Christ, we need to identify that and rebuke that. We cannot allow it to fester in the body of Christ, otherwise we will be rendered ineffective. Matter of fact, the church has been rendered ineffective because of the sin that's continued to meet in the house of the Lord. Now we say this is a house of prayer and all this, but yet we become a house of sin. So if we see somebody operating like that, what are we going to do? Resist them first. Are y'all tracking with them? Meaning stand against them, or rather the spirit that they're operating out of. Okay, so if you have John, I don't think we have a John in here right now. If you have a John that rolls up on you, you're not fighting John, but you're fighting the spirit that he's operating out of. So when Jesus had these demons and these devils approach him, he didn't speak to the person. He spoke to the demons. All right? So when we see demonic activity, when we see people acting devilish, speak to the issue, not the person. In the body of Christ, we are bad about beating people up. All right, let's move on. And we raise up on out of here. I know it's been rough, but we need to deal with it. Amen. Do not use the wrong weapons. Secondly, do use the right weapons. And they are spiritual weapons. Why do we use them? Scripture says very clearly, they are mighty. They are strong. They are able to pour down. So when we see manipulation and deceit and lies, then guess what we can choose? We can choose truth. Amen? When we see wickedness happening around us, then guess what? We choose righteousness. When we see pride, we practice meekness. Are y'all with me? As Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high. Amen? So when you see that kind of activity, you don't succumb and fight like them. You fight with spiritual weapons. Okay? Why? Because he says these spiritual weapons does something. He says they pour down strongholds. And I want you to pay very close attention to the kind of strongholds he's mentioned. Watch what happens in the text. In verses 4 and 5. He says this. They're expressed in arguments. That's in the Bible if you hadn't torn it out. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when we deal with arguments and high things, remember we talk about high things, when we see those kinds of things, that is something we need to pull down. Because I think many times when we think about spiritual warfare, we think literally that we're fighting devils and demons. That's not always the case. The issue sometimes is the devils in our church family that are causing arguments and manipulation and deceit and lying and pride and all those kinds of things. He says, when you see that kind of stuff, that's a stronghold. And he says, I need you to pull it down. Oh my gosh. He says, we've been empowered to do that. Oh Jesus. So pull it down. Everybody say, pull it down.
Pull it down.
Tell your neighbor, pull it down. Pull it down.
Pull it down.
Because we've been given the authority to pull it down. So when I come to you and I see that you acted up, God has given me the authority. And he says also, we are a royal priesthood, meaning we have a responsibility to cast down some things. Okay, let me give it to you like this. In football, on some Sundays, you'll see these 6'7", 300-pound men. And in this, and I remember watching one game, and this guy was upset about a call. And he came up to the ref. And the one thing you can never do with a referee, you can never touch a referee. So I want you to see this. This 6'7", 300-pound guy, got shoulder pads, helmet, and everything. He's made to do some damage. And this referee is standing calmly, and this guy bumped him. This guy just reached in his pocket, threw the flag, and he says, you're out of here. Watch this. Now, this guy was imposing. He's 6'7", 300 pounds, got equipment to do damage, and yet he had no authority over the referee, who's 5'5", 100 pounds soaking wet, with a t-shirt on, and he says in the face of this 300-pound guy, throws a flag, says, you out of here. God has given us the same kind of authority. And as the devil is approaching us, we don't back down, but we
out of here. Whoa.
Yeah, you got some authority. You got to get out of here today. Because God has given us
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So we don't back down. We throw the flag on him. And tell him to get out of here. And maybe that's what we need to do in here. That as we see some stuff that's not lining up with God, that's trying to posture yourself against God, we stand up and we just throw the flag. Oh, not up in here. Not up in here. Come on. Devil, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
My head's about.
Praise the Lord.
My head's about. Just think about all the things we have seen and witnessed in the life of our church. Yeah. How the enemy has wreaked havoc in the life of our church. There's some spirits that have lingered here in our church. Yeah. But here's what we're going to do today. We're going to rebuke those spirits. We're going to rebuke anything that's trying to exalt itself above the authority and the knowledge of God, because it can no longer stay in this house anymore, because we have been given authority over the devil, his demons, his tactics, his schemes. He cannot stay here anymore.
Praise the Lord.
Because the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty. Freedom.
And we claim freedom.
Thank you, Jesus.
We claim liberty right
now.
God, we thank you right now for the authority that you have given to us, God. I pray that we would use the eyes that you have given to us to see beyond fighting against one another and see that we are engaged and involved in a spiritual warfare, God. God, we see the schemes and the tactics of the enemy. We see manipulation, lying, deceit. We see all that stuff, and we rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. He has no standing, no place in this house anymore. So, Father, I thank you right now for the freedom and the liberty that you give to us by your Spirit, God, so that we are no longer bound or shackled or chained by anything. God, we're not yoked, bound by anything, but, God, we can live in freedom, God, because you can destroy any yoke, God. And we thank you, Father, for being so faithful, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So, God, we don't know what you have in store for the life of our church, but, God, we're claiming victory already, God, because, God, we realize ultimately, God, that the battle does not belong to us. It belongs to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
So, Father, I pray that you would give us courage right now, Lord, so that as we confront the sins that are in our house, God, that we can rebuke it, Lord, so that we might be restored and made whole, Lord. God, we have a mission that you called us to, Lord. And God, we will not allow that to be compromised by sin lingering in this place, God. And God, we confess to you, Lord, that yes, we have stumbled. Yes, we have fallen, God. But God, we cast aside, God, every weight right now, Lord. God, we are going to walk and we're going to run with endurance, God, because God, you have empowered us, Lord, to lay aside the weights, God. So, God, I pray now, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see what those weights might be in our life, God,
yes,
so that we can lay them aside. Because, God, we don't want to continue on this path any longer, being bound by anything, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And, God, thank you for this victory, Lord, in
you.
And, God, I declare as a church family, God, we repent, God, when we have failed you, God. God, your word says that we confess our sins, God. God, we've had some things that have happened in our church, God, and God, we confess them to you right now, God, so that you can cleanse us, and not only cleanse us, but restore us, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Father.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
God, we thank you.
Lord, Jesus.
God, we thank you.
Thank you.
You are so faithful, God. And I pray that all nations, that this church family, God, will be just as faithful, God, from this day forward, God, that we'll be faithful to you, that we'll be faithful to our church family, that we'll be faithful to your mission. And God, that we won't compromise, God, for any reason, God, but God, that we'll continue to walk in your authority. So Lord, as we stand here today, there may be people who are still bound right now, Lord, that they feel trapped by the sins in their life, God. But as we just declared, that you have given us freedom in Jesus Christ, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so, Father, I pray against it right now, Lord, that they realize that you are the one who destroys and breaks every yoke, God, so they don't have to be imprisoned by this any longer. So, church family, we're praying, we're interceding for those individuals right now. And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I feel bound and imprisoned by my sin. Whatever that might be,
Will you just raise your hand right where you are? Nobody's looking at you. It's not about them anyway. But if you feel like there's something that's been holding you down and weighing you down, thank you. I see your hand.
Thank you.
I promise you, the Lord says that there is no sin that's so great that He can't get you out of.
But the words, yeah.
There's nothing that can keep you bound.
Nothing.
The Lord declares liberty in your life. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
God. Thank you. God, thank you for the hands that were raised. God, that they were willing to acknowledge the issues that's in their heart. And God, I pray for deliverance right now, God. God, we thank you for the freedom that you offer in Jesus Christ. God, we thank you. God, we thank you. And Lord, I pray that they know, God, that you won't abandon them even in their stumble, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom, God, on how to guard their heart and their mind, that they would guard their eyes and their ears, that they would guard the place that they go, the things that they touch, Lord. I pray that you would give them wisdom, Lord, through your Spirit. So, God, that they will begin to cast down those high things in their life so they won't drift away from you. But, God, I pray that you become preeminent in their life in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. And Lord, if there's anybody here today, and they're saying, hey, I need a church family to be a part of. If that's you, you say, Pastor, that's me, I need to be a part of a church family. Well, just raise your hand right where you are. Hallelujah, God, thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. God, we thank you for those who are here. God, give traveling grace for those who are traveling this weekend. God, we look forward to this year ahead. God, what you are going to accomplish in the life of our church family. God, we declare right now the best is yet to come.
The best.
In Jesus' name.
Yet to come.
Amen. Let's get the morning. Amen.